Drafted is a production of Treefort Media, Clutch Sports Group, and iHeartRadio.
Most people that are getting drafted, they're always the guys since freshman year, always the best one on the team. But for me, that wasn't the case. Sophomore year of high school, I was trash at football. Fifth string on JV. So like now that it's like literally less than a day away, it's kind of starting to get surreal. I'm a crier. I'm an emotional person. So I'll be tearing up thinking about my process. I was stalking my mom's Instagram from like 6 years ago, watching all my high school videos and all my old workouts and all that. So it's finally starting to get real for me.
Welcome back to Drafted. I'm Steven Johnson, and this is episode 9 of season 3. In this episode, we'll meet our sixth and final player of this season, Oregon State linebacker Hamika Rashid Jr. We'll be joining Hamika and his family in Phoenix, Arizona for their draft party. But first, we're returning to the mountains of Big Bear, California for cornerback Cameron Bynum's big day. And now, it's finally here. Cam explains.
All right, so it's the morning of the draft. April 29, 9:30. We're about to make breakfast. But today I'm not gonna tell people, well, unless it's talking crazy, but for my immediate family, I'm not telling them I'm mic'd up. So I'm gonna keep it as authentic as possible for y'all. Good content. All right, I'll be back.
Cam joins his family in the living room, where they all wait for the first round to begin shortly.
All right, Caleb, give me some wisdom. Oh, y'all want to be quiet all of a sudden? Okay, come on, give me something.
He's our leader.
Yeah. I'm your leader.
I'll talk second.
All his normally talkative siblings are suddenly quiet, maybe finally succumbing to the weight of what's at stake. So to lighten the mood, Cam shows off his newest skill.
Yeah.
Cam taught himself how to play the piano while recovering from a knee injury last season. He did this by following his same routine from football. Here he explains.
Physically, I just had to sit back and do nothing for a little. So that's the first time I've ever done that. So that was the biggest challenge. I was sitting in the garage doing curls, sitting with my legs straight on the bench, and I wasn't allowed to sweat. So I'd make it real, put the fan on me, sit there, do a set of curls. I'd have to rest for like 5 minutes so I don't start sweating and get it infected. But I was finding any little way to still get work in. So that was the biggest challenge for me to actually sit back and rest. And I knew that I'll still find a way to do something productive. Let me challenge myself mentally in a different way. So that's when I started playing piano and fell in love with music ever since.
Cam assumed his process for football would directly translate. He'd substitute finger drills on the keys for footwork on the field, as if tackling a running back or covering a wide receiver are the same as combining notes and timing the pedals.
I've always wanted to play the piano, and this is super tough, super big challenge. And I was like, okay, this does mimic football. I got to learn something, got to drill it, and then make a big picture and be able to make music. Same thing with football. Got to learn the playbook. You got to do drills to try and get the movements down. Then you put it together and now it's a full play. So let me challenge myself and start learning this instrument that I love and have loved my whole life, but never played it. So that was like the best thing I've done so far.
Going into the draft, NFL scouts thought Cam might make a better safety than a cornerback. However, it's a big risk moving a player to another position at the pro level. Many athletes aren't open to the idea or the amount of work required, and the early struggles can shatter their confidence or overwhelm them completely. So almost every team asked Cam how he felt about trying to change positions. Would he be all right getting outside his comfort zone and learning a new role on defense? Could he handle the mental challenges that come with initially struggling? And what about the amount of time and commitment it takes to master these new skills?
Now I'm pretty good now to the point where I can play almost anything once I learn it. So I can read all the music. So it's just a matter of memorization now. So now I'm branching out now I'm obsessed with the bass guitar along with piano. So I'm just trying to branch out on the music and just keep learning.
It was this exact approach that got him here to draft day.
Throughout the week, it was before school. Go there, workout starts at 5, and then right after school, another practice on the field at the high school, and then right back at 5 o'clock, we're back up at the facility doing our speed work, doing our lifting, and one more DB workout. So it was at least 14 hours a day of just from the time you wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm not getting home until 7 at night. After my last workout, then I'd have to do homework and then right back. And that was basically my whole routine, even when I got to college, still doing those crazy hours, still putting in extra hours, went a whole year without missing a day of doing extra work. So that's really been the whole story of my entire career.
In addition to the 14-hour work days, Cam added another layer once he started playing in college.
I talked to the quarterbacks or the receiver coach and the offensive coordinator after games just to say, hey, what did you see in my game that made you do this, this, or that? And after games, I'm DMing receivers like, okay, what was going through the film room that week and how are you guys planning to beat me?
After games, Cam questioned opposing quarterbacks and coaches about his weaknesses. Then he continued texting opposing receivers for days, desperately seeking any edge to improve and any new area to work on. So maybe when those NFL teams asked Cam if he'd be open to learning a new position like safety, instead of answering their questions, maybe he should have just played them a song or two. Meet Hamika Rashid Jr., linebacker from Oregon State University.
I had a lot of meetings, but you know, every meeting I had with the 32 teams were talking about how did I drop from 14 sacks to zero? And that's pretty much what I had to answer this whole drive time. And that's probably the biggest question that I've been asked.
Arguably, no prospect in the entire draft has a wider range of possible outcomes than Hamika. He's projected to be picked anywhere from late in round one to late in the seventh round. In other words, at almost any point in the entire draft. This is because Hamika had possibly the two craziest back-to-back seasons out of anyone in college football. 2 years ago, he had 14 sacks, barely trailing last year's number two pick and NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, Chase Young. Then he decided to come back for his senior season. Here's Hamika elaborating.
I wanted to come back and be a top 10. You know, they're saying I'm top 30. You know, 30 people are better than me. I wanted to come back and show them, like, no, these 30 people are not better than me, or these 60 people are not better than me. That's really motivated me to go back.
He returned to Oregon State and only recorded 2 tackles for a loss and 0 sacks. So naturally, everyone wants to know how and why that happened. And this is why he has a nearly unprecedented draft range, and why he and his family are feeling a little nervous right now. As the final few pre-draft minutes tick away, his mother, Misha McLemore, especially begins to struggle with the tension.
Yeah, I'm sitting down now. I'm trying to sit down. I've been up. Yeah, my nerves is bad. I look like, I lay down somewhere, but I can't go lay down.
Misha takes a seat on the couch to try to calm herself. She's struggling with a similar question NFL executives face. What's next for Hamika's career? Is he the player from 2 seasons ago? Or the one from last year? Which player is the real Hamika Rashid Jr.? To answer that question, you have to go all the way back to his childhood, where he grew up playing sports with his 3 brothers in South Phoenix, Arizona.
Growing on that street, you know, I had a lot of people going outside playing basketball and football, and I feel like that's what started my football career, you know, tackling older people in the streets, or, you know, hot deserts, scrapes and bruises, all type of stuff, you know. That was, you know, fun times for sure.
Football was fun. Hamika played in the youth leagues, along with the pickup games in the neighborhood. he'd go crashing into anyone and everyone, no matter their age or size, or whether he was on a field or a paved street. The tackling and chasing and collisions all felt natural.
I think I'm just born like this, you know. I never back down, you know, starting at an early age. I want to say probably my older brothers, you know, they made me tougher, you know. I'm always fighting them, or I'm fighting your friend or something like that, you know. I'm not backing down. It probably started from my brothers and my dad, you know. They're always tough on me and, you know, working me, being fearless. I'm fearless and I'm not scared, you know. It's the heart and how tough you are.
Like Devontae Smith getting pushed around on the basketball court as a younger kid, Hamaker grew up always playing against older siblings and bigger kids in the neighborhood. Here's his older brother, DeAndre, on those intense childhood games.
Like any other big brother, you feel me? You gonna pick on the little ones. It's my job to make sure, you feel me, you tough. Most thing about Hamaker, like I said, we all was rough. So even though my mom trying to protect us to keep us clean, we just like any other kid. We bad, we playing, you know, picking on each other, that type of ordeal. So as Hamaker came along, like I said, one visual thing I got about Hamaker, he used to have this orange little hockey stick. Like, he was probably like, I want to say either one or two, and he probably had like a pull-up ball, and he ran through the house chasing us, little as he was, chasing us. You feel me? So I feel like that could have been another thing why he was crazy in the football. He already had it in.
Even as a toddler, Hamaker would chase his older brothers through the house with a hockey stick, already playing like a future linebacker, looking for someone to hit.
I feel like it started at an early age. I know I was going to be a football player because I was just tough as one. You know, I'm fighting. I'm picking on kids three times bigger than me. You know, I'm not backing down. I'm out there just putting my head and hitting every kid out there. So I feel like I think I learned that like probably 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and I didn't look back since then.
Despite some success, Hamaker wasn't heavily recruited or getting much publicity during his first two seasons of high school. Then everything changed his junior year.
I wasn't really recruited. I ended up having to get like 10 sacks in one game, and that's when everything, like, offers started trying to come. You know, I blew up my last 2 years, but nobody knew me until... But that stat line of having 20 sacks in my junior year.
In case you think you misheard those cartoonish-sounding statistics, Hamaker recorded 10 sacks in one game his junior year of high school, and 20 for the season.
So I was just playing DN, and honestly, I felt as I was just running past the kid the whole time and just unstoppable. I feel like, you know, it was just pretty easy just getting off the ball and just... Honestly, I don't even want to say it counted, but, you know, 10 sacks, 10 sacks, you know, so you can't even do that in a video game.
Then, following the best performance of his football career, everything in Hamaker's life quickly turned once again.
I had 20 sacks, a lot of tackle for losses, you know, and I was blown up. Had a great year, but into my senior year, my parents ended up breaking up, and they broke up, and that led to me moving in with my mom, me and my little brother. We ended up having to live with my oldest brother for a couple of months, and I wasn't sure where I was going to go. I was sharing rooms with my nephew and my little brother. So, you know, it was a tough time.
Hamaker and his younger brother, along with their mom, moved into his older brother's apartment in a new school district. That meant Hamaker would now be attending a new high school for his senior year. His mom, Misha, recounts those traumatic days.
It was a trying time for all of us. We had just went through our family breakup, and you know, he just had to be strong. It was his senior year that everything happened before we got to Chandler, and the whole life just changed. And I just said, okay, well, Hamaker, we got to figure this out. So I said, whatever I got to do, whatever I have to do, we're going to get through this. And with the grace of God, and my dad's deceased now, but he was there. And then my grandmother, she stepped in. And then my other grandma, who just passed away 2 months ago, my family came together and helped me to make sure that me and my boys would be fine and Whew, it was a trial.
Misha and her parents and grandparents all came together to care for the boys and work with the coaches at Hamica's new high school, Chandler.
My name is Russell Scott. I am I'm assistant football coach at Chandler High School. I'm also a teacher on campus as well. And I know Ham by way of football, of course. We knew of him, and we did hear about this 10-sack game that he had, and we knew he was special. But my relationship with Ham was more after practice. He also, you know, he had a hip injury at the beginning, and so I would take him to physical therapy. So he and I would ride along, you know, so we had 20 minutes therapy and 20 minutes back from therapy. And, you know, I do leadership here at Chandler. And so much of our conversation was, you know, about life, because we knew he had the physical tools to make something happen for himself. But we also want to know about his mental background. We want to know his goals and his aspirations as well. You know, so much of my conversation with him came from being off the field.
Coach Scott and Hamica began to bond. And because Hamica didn't know a single person at his new high school, this relationship provided him with someone to turn to for help during this dark period.
He did have some things going on family-wise. He also had some academic things going on as well. And so when he came over to Chandler, we let him know. So if a kid has the utmost of potential to play at the next level, Division 1, 2, 3, we delve into them and we do transcript research. And so we put together a plan for Ham, and it took him getting all A's and B's both semesters in order for him to really have a shot to go anywhere.
Hamica's living situation is unsettled. His parents are recently divorced, and he has to start over at a new high school with a new football program where he doesn't know anyone. Then he discovers that he has to get all A's and B's both semesters to academically qualify to play college football. His senior year quickly turns into the greatest challenge of his young life. And his decorated 20-sack season disappeared into the background, as everyone wonders whether he'll be able to rise to the occasion on and off the field. We'll be right back. Coach Scott and the staff at Chandler High School call the meeting with Hamica and his mom to deliver the tough news about his prospects.
My high school coaches, they sat me down. He was like, listen here, you have, I want to say I had like a 2.4, 2.3 GPA. And they were like, you have all these schools coming up to us talking about, you know, you're a great athlete. You can do all this stuff. You have a lot of production and stuff like that. But it was like, you have no grades. You have to do the SATs. I think it's the SAT or the other one. And they pretty much told me down, and I believe Coach Eric was the guy that he sent me down. He told me he's planning this whole map out. He was like, listen, hey, I need you to buckle down and get straight A's to qualify. He's like, I know you do it, and I believe all your hard work will pay off. If you buy into what I'm saying right now, you'll be in college.
Hamica needed to excel in the classroom and on the football field, and he needed to do that amid the turbulence and emotional challenges with his life at home.
My mom, she's sick and she's hurt. And, you know, it's tough, you know, watching her come home from work and just go straight to the room and not really eat. You know, obviously all that stuff is just tough to see. So I feel like that's probably the toughest part, you know.
He wasn't sure if she was physically ill, suffering emotionally, or both. Under these conditions, his life seemed to be facing a crossroads. He could use these challenges to focus and further commit to his goals, or he could understandably wilt under the intense pressure bearing down on every part of his life and give up.
So I feel like for me, it was just being there and, you know, being strong for my mom, because she's having a tough time. Just having her not worry about me, because she already has so much stuff to worry about, you know? And I'll have my mom stress about me and see where I'm at. And I just took it as I got to show my mom like I can help her, you know, I can do everything right, you know. It helped me see clear I wanted to get to college and now, you know, NFL.
Hamaga committed himself to these goals in a new way, throwing himself into his schoolwork and football. Here's Coach Scott on what he saw from Hamaga during this period.
He had to go to tutoring, and so he had to get with his teachers. He had to sit in there and study for another hour or so before practice, you know. And then once he made it out to practice, he got to study out there on the field too. So, you know, he's putting in time then after school, and he did go to the public library, which is down the street from his house. He went to the public library in order to get some homework done because I don't believe they had an internet connection in the apartment that he was staying in with his mom and brother while he was going to school.
Here's Hamaga again on these compounding challenges.
I pretty much bought in, you know, I worked my butt off. I had to go to a library for like 3-4 hours and study with an SAT guy, you know. Obviously, math and stuff was hard, but I ended up getting straight A's probably for my first time in my life. And I ended up qualifying, and I was just so happy.
He qualifies for Division I football and follows up his 20-sack junior year with 13 more sacks as a senior. This leads to Hamaga committing to Oregon State, planning to join his older brother there, who plays on the basketball team. Finally, the dark days are behind him. Until what seemed like the perfect situation in college quickly turns into another bad dream.
My freshman year, I ended up traveling every game, thinking I was going to play, you know, coach telling me to get ready, stretch and stuff like that. He ended up never putting me in. Then at the last, like, two games, he was like, yeah, I'm sorry, Ham, you're redshirt. So, and then he was like, sending you to a developmental lift. And that was that. And it was pretty tough. I was working my butt off. You know, I was probably just stronger than the starting linebacker and faster than him. You know, I'm working my butt off. I'm doing everything right. And I just didn't get that chance. Then second year comes around, same thing. I end up playing the special team my second year, doing everything right. I'm out there smacking people around on kickoff and punt and stuff like that with the hopes of, you know, playing on defense. And I think I want to say I probably got 11 plays that whole second year on defense.
He wasn't getting to play. And he certainly wasn't having the same fun he used to when he was younger.
It was a tough time, and I couldn't do nothing about that. You know, everyone around me was like, I can't believe you're not playing. So I feel like that's probably what just motivated me even more. Those years, those past years, it's like they don't believe me. They don't see what I see. And they're not even going to give me the chance to even try to show them. That's what probably the hardest part was. Anger, you know, just not playing. You know, you're not playing football. You obviously could lose yourself.
His mom, Misha, tried to stay positive, despite the difficult years adding up, and Hamaga's brother transferring to another university.
We just trying to do is just encourage him to still hang in there. From him never playing, from him always playing football, from now everything stopped, your whole life changed. Just still trying to encourage him to just keep pushing forward, even though he's not playing. So it was a rough time. And then for your brother to be there and then he's no longer there. And first time ever leaving home, and our household had changed completely. So we just had to keep encouraging him and until he can figure this part out.
Once again, her son faced a daunting period in his life. No matter where he looked, he didn't see a clear road to better times ahead. We'll be right back. Despite all the challenges, Hamaga's mom, Misha, never lost faith. She explains.
I said, I'm going to do what I have to do to fix this, and I'm going to support you guys regardless of what we just went through. I said, I need you guys to do your job too. So you expect me to handle my business? I need to handle yours. And you're going to get there regardless.
Yeah, I can drive.
Yeah, even if we have to drive.
That was Hamika's stepdad, Chris McLemore, in the background, talking about driving.
He had came out 2018. Hamika came home. It was like spring break or what, I don't know what it was, but he came home and we had got him a plane ticket to go back to Oregon. So we got to the airport, dropped Hamika off.
After flying home to Arizona for spring break, Hamika is now returning to campus for the rest of the semester at Oregon State.
Drop him off at the airport. He calls. We weren't even back yet to the apartment yet. Mom, the plane left me. What do you mean the plane left you? What do you mean? What do you mean? And so trying to figure out, okay, he has to be back to school the next day or so. And he's like, I'm trying to figure out how to buy another plane ticket. Everything was like $2,000 one way. And I looked at Chris. He said, we drive him. What do you mean? We went and picked Hamika back up from the airport, get in the car. 22 hours, we drove him back to Oregon.
Just in time.
Just enough time to get to practice. When I say driving on fumes, we're tag teaming. Hamika, go to sleep. There in the back in the Sequoia, we were just driving. 22 hours. 22 hours.
Two years without playing. His brother transferring from Oregon State. Throughout it all, Hamika simply tried to persevere. Research shows the most predictive traits for success are persistence and grit. Showing up for practice and tutoring day after day. Dragging yourself to the public library. Having a family who picks you back up, metaphorically off the ground and literally from the airport, and gets you back on your way. This is what Hamika and his parents did. And suddenly, one day, it paid off. Going into Hamika's redshirt sophomore year, the Oregon State Beavers hired a new head coach, Jonathan Smith. And just like that, everything in Corvallis, Oregon changed.
Third year, you know, got a new coaching staff and finally got to play football in like 3 years. I was just thinking this whole time, like, you might not see it now, but I'm going to make someone pay. And I honestly wanted to play that old coaching staff and just go crazy on that on their team and just show them, like, this is the guy you had on the bench the whole time, you know, and you didn't even give him the shot to even try. And, you know, I only got like 12, 13 tackle losses and some sacks. And I was just like, wow, this is what football feels like again. I haven't played in so long since high school. But after that, you know, the sky was the limit.
His redshirt junior year in 2020, all the pieces came together. The joy was back, and football became fun again.
So fun. It's so much fun, you know, thinking about like, oh, I'm out here getting respect from other teams and everyone's like, yeah, you're a great player, you're doing this. And I remember vividly like ASU like tackle, he was just like mid-game, I ran past him and they got like another tackle for loss. He was like, bro, you're killing me. And he was like, bro, I really can't stop you. I end up trying to like do like a one-arm stab and he like knocked my hand down and I fell to the ground. And he was like, yes, I got him. You finally got him. And I was just like, this is funny. It's like really crazy. Like he finally got me on one rep and I'm killing him the whole game. So I feel like overall, it was a great year. So I was just me just getting back to football and being out there, being disruptive and making plays. The biggest difference, you know, I'm just out there being free, letting me go rush, letting me go play football.
Hamika registered 14 sacks that year, along with the 22 and a half tackles for loss. He catapulted into the national spotlight and became a first-team All-American. And then, surprisingly, he decided to return for his senior season.
It was tough to think about right now, but I broke my thumb, had surgery at the end of the year for, you know, 2019 year. So, you know, my big reason why I wasn't going to go to draft was that I couldn't do the benches and combine stuff. So that really affected me. And I think I was like projected top 30 or something around there. And I felt like I could definitely improve and do another great year and go up and become a, you know, top 10 pick. That's always been my dream, you know, I always wanted to be a top 10 pick. And that's why I really, that's really motivated me. And, you know, I felt confident in what I had and what my coaches prepared me for and the people around me. I feel like we're going to have a way better year, not knowing, you know, COVID and all that stuff is going to happen.
His goal for his senior year is to become a top 10 pick. And he's feeling as optimistic as ever.
I was still recovering from pins in my hand, from a broken thumb, and COVID. Here it comes. They're like, yeah, just go home. And we just did one to two practices, and they're like, I'm just getting started. I'm like, wow, we got to go home now.
COVID hit campuses across the country, and Hamika had to return home after just his first few practices.
When I'm going home for 4 or 5 months, I'm training my butt off at home, working out with two coaches, going to two places just to be safe. And I want to say after that delay, they canceled it. They canceled our season.
The Pac-12 conference initially calls off the entire year. Then, as the pandemic situation becomes clearer, they eventually decide to play an abbreviated season. All the players return for fall camp with new COVID protocols, including a test every single morning.
I woke up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m. to go get tested at Oregon State, and the trainer came in and talked to me. I was in the meeting room. He was about to start doing meetings. And he came in and he was like, Ham, I need you. I need to talk to you. And I'm like, what the heck you need to talk to me about, right? And I ended up going downstairs with the trainer. And he's like, you just popped for COVID. You tested positive. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you need to go home right now, like right now. And I'm walking home and didn't leave my house since then for 14 days. And it probably was the most terrible time ever, 14 days ever. And I'm like, what the heck? How? Right? And I'm like, all I did was stay home and went to go get Jersey Mike's. So somewhere in that time, from going to get some food and from back to practice or whatever, I got COVID somehow.
He spent 4 straight months training at home and finally recovered from his broken thumb, and then COVID.
So I missed 2 weeks of fall camp, then had to come back after COVID and play. And, you know, I feel like COVID pretty much hit me the hardest, I would say. You know, I just have legs. You know, you need legs. You need legs to do everything you do in football. Your legs separate from a sack to a hurry. You know, I feel like all that stuff matters. And it definitely mattered.
Hamika's COVID recovery was slow and drawn out. He didn't have his usual burst. But once again, he persevered.
Then had to come back after COVID and play. Then got hurt my ankle pretty bad. Then try to just get ready for the season and rehabbed a lot of it. And played a couple games, just tore up. And, you know, I'm just doing whatever it takes, you know, trying to survive these couple games. And it just wasn't great. And obviously, I didn't get a lot of stats, as, you know, a lot of people wanted me to have. And obviously, it hurt me, you know, it's tough.
This is the one and only topic NFL teams focus on whenever Hamika talks to them. What happened? They all want to know what happened. To Hamika, what happened was a string of injuries and illnesses. He wasn't able to play his best football. To his high school mentor, Coach Scott, it was also a case of game planning.
When he came back, you know, teams had already, you know, understood if this kid is back around, this is what we have to do. He's way too strong, way too fast for a single coverage. And so what teams started doing is they started double teaming him to keep him away from quarterbacks. So that was the biggest thing, was the adjustments that teams made against him. It wasn't anything that he did wrong, because that wasn't the case. But, you know, your better teams aren't going to allow that to happen. You know, they learned about him and they learned how to slow him down.
So the question of what happened depends on who you ask and how much they know about the last 6 years of Hamika's life. And when it comes to NFL scouts and executives, they want to know absolutely everything.
I had a a lot of meetings, but, you know, every meeting I had with the 32 teams were talking about how did I drop from 14 sacks to zero? And that's pretty much what I had to answer this whole drive time. And that's probably the biggest question that I've been asked.
Injuries. Double teams. COVID. Those are all part of what happened this past season. Though the real answer goes all the way back to the little kid playing football in the streets of Phoenix. The one chasing down his older brothers, having the most fun as he crashes into kids all over the neighborhood. What happened this past season is something that's happened many times before. He had a very tough year. Football stopped being fun for a little while. But the recurring story of Hamika's life is that no matter what gets thrown at him, he always fights his way back. He's been through ups and downs like this many times before.
Expectations were definitely high, but you know, I played my worst football this last year because of injuries, not because, you know, I can't play great football.
Next on Drafted.
It was, to me, it was like a death and having a baby at the same time. Like, what in the world just happened?
I just took my mic off and I went upstairs and I was hot. I was just mad.
Come on, call my phone, somebody. Somebody call my phone.
But originally, when I saw him looking at his phone, like, no, he's joking. I'm not falling for that.
This is a movie. This, like, this doesn't happen. This isn't regular. So that's my little catchphrase. Do it for the movie.
Packers hit me. The Chargers hit me. I'm like,
what a trigger.
That's when you have to push the emotion to the side and say, what are we going to do best for him?
I'm seeing people get drafted with, like, no names, and, like, it's just irritating.
So I just broke down. He didn't hear me crying on my side of the phone, bro, but it was so unreal.
Drafted is a production of Treefort Media, Clutch Sports Group, and iHeartRadio. The executive producers are Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, Eric Salat, Eric Weiner, and Sean Titone. The series is produced and written by Eric Weiner. Garme Mamalu is our coordinating producer. Coral Silverberg is our associate producer. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer. The show is mixed, edited, and hosted by me, Stephen Johnson. Additional production help from Tim Schauer and Haley Mandelberg. For transcripts of the show and more information on Drafted, go to treefort.fm. And for more podcasts from iHeart, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.